some advice from you.
Sure.
On numerous occasions, we have asked that the financial information be submitted to this board well in advance of Friday before the meeting.
Right.
This particular meeting has been extended out by a week. Okay. I was here on the very first meeting of this district, and I've been at every meeting since for the past 8 years. In my opinion, this meeting today is one of the most important ones that we've had. And yet we're being asked to do this without any financial information at all. So, I want an agenda item where this board can discuss with our executive director, our accountant, and our investment manager why it is that we don't seem to be able to get timely financial information before these meetings. If in your legal opinion, that needs to be handled in an executive session, as much as I dislike executive sessions, and I've only been in one in 28 years of volunteering, I've been in one executive session. If it is your advice that we have that in executive session, I'll acquiesce to that, depending upon what my fellow board members think. Other than that, we can just add it as a agenda item and deal with it, probably under a new item 11.
Oh, okay, you were wanting to, why don't you just, my suggestion would be that if you want to talk about board direction on financial information, yeah, I think we can do that under unscheduled business.
This board has given that direction, and that direction has been ignored.
Okay.
So.
Okay. What I would suggest is if we're going to, if you feel like we need to go into closed session, and we certainly can on personnel issues or anything of that
nature. I don't want to embarrass anybody in a public meeting or create a legal liability. In my opinion, we have a problem with these three people understanding our desire for timely information, and I want it dealt with today.
Okay. Then my suggestion would be let's go into a closed session at the conclusion of the meeting, and that's
So we would go into finish up with item 11.
Yep.
And have a new item 12 that would be an executive session to discuss.
And I would call it an executive session to discuss personnel matters. And we'll need to have a vote to go into a closed session.
Can we do that now, or
when it comes up?
Okay. Thank you. Apologize for putting you on this
spot. No worries.
All right. So with that, I will entertain a motion for the amended agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. Board will now entertain general public comment. Hearing none, we'll move along to the adoption of the February meeting minutes. Has the board had the opportunity to peruse the minutes?
Yeah.
If so, I will entertain a motion.
Good, John. I'll move we accept those minutes as written.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Item 4, consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. Staff report.
Okay. It's short this month. Our social media, we did our postings on our board meeting that the meeting minutes from the last month were posted. I did a community presentation at the Plateau Valley Fire Protection District, and I was a guest on the KAFM radio show about connecting the community dots and talked about the district, and that we posted the meeting agenda was ready for review. We didn't have any media this past month. We don't have any grants due at this time, But we do have an upcoming grant from the city of Fruita for their Cedar Way Improvement Project. That is $50,000 that's scheduled to be due in May. Invoices are for Dufford, Waldeck, Milburn, and Crone for $2,203. Dusty Reimer invoice for services and supplies for $3,774.98. And our upcoming events, doing a presentation at the CMU Energy class tomorrow, and our board meeting for the 17th currently is what's scheduled.
Questions for staff? Review of financials.
So we received the $120,402.20 from the Amtrak disbursement in February. Paid regular bills, all of those have cleared the bank. And we had an unrealized gain of $19,663.48. Interest earned 33 cents, dividend income of $1,583.03. I did discuss with our auditors regarding the reporting of those unrealized gains or losses. So you're still seeing them where they have been in the past, and I was told that that is the correct way to report those, according to GASB and for FASB and for any nonprofits. Do you have a question about that, Craig?
So our attorney in our last meeting said that when the board approved a grant request, that was a legal liability of this entity.
The grant request, so that those were moved on the December financials. So they were, had been posted for February, and now they're posted as of December. So those grants show up
so
on the December.
So I guess we're looking up here, right?
So this is the February. I also sent some revised December over to show that those have been moved.
Not the December ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, excuse me, going back to that last page. So as we're evaluating this matter today, we have $682,743.76 in grants that have been approved but have not been funded. That's the legal liability that we're looking at.
That is correct.
Okay, keep going.
Okay. So if you look at the balance sheet, the balance sheet shows our fund balance as of 2/28, the $2,370,608.73. And then our permanent fund, the fair market value of that permanent fund is the $1,413.811. Are there any questions?
Just a moment.
So if you,
go ahead, Quinn. Sorry.
Nancy, fund balance is the total of all bank accounts, right?
The fund balance is there's one bank account, the Alpine Bank account.
Okay.
The permanent fund or the investment account is the investment account. Okay. Now.
We don't have anything in the cash deposit account.
No, we just have the one account.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. I thought that was it, but I wanted to make sure that there wasn't. Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
That's all.
All right.
Oh.
Go ahead, Quinn. I'm good. Review of the investment account.
Yeah, current balance as of yesterday is 1.24. Sorry, 1.424 million. And this is as of market close yesterday. account basically flat and maybe up a little bit too. So duration on this is 3.5. The yield curve is inverted, so don't see any reason to lengthen duration at this time. And then otherwise, kind of just waiting instruction on the next steps, if there are next steps, with the farm.
Questions? Thank you. Item number 8. In our previous meeting last month, Patrick was here and he requested a written request, if you will, from Mesa County regarding what exactly it was that the county commissioners wanted from this board regarding the annual points money. We received that letter from Patrick. Patrick, thank you. And it, has that letter been posted to our website?
It has not.
So the board is in receipt of the letter. That letter is dated, what's the date on it?
March 14th, 2019.
I think the letter is fairly straightforward. Chris, would you like to opine?
Yes. So we've had an extensive discussion about the history of the Annual Points Fund and the county's request. So we now have their request. I've reviewed the draft agreement that's been submitted by the county attorney. And as I told Patrick Coleman at the start of the meeting, I think it would probably be workable for this board if the board was of a mind to make a disbursement to Mesa County. I would, however, think that there would be a few technical changes that I would want to make to the agreement, specifically to deal with satisfying the purposes of our mandate legislation. I'd want to make some technical changes, and as I told the county attorney at the start of the meeting, I'm not recommending that you approve the agreement today, but I would like to make some changes to it and bring it back for you. The real issue is does the board want to go forward with this arrangement, and if so, how much money does it want to contribute? There are a couple background facts that I relayed to the board, I think a week or so ago, and that is that the county has entered into a contract for design services with an architectural firm. I forget, was it Blythe Group?
Yes.
Yeah, Blythe Group, to the tune of about $1 million for design services for the jail expansion. As the board knows, mineral lease monies, mineral district monies can be spent for planning, design, construction, public facilities. In my opinion, a jail expansion project such as the county proposes here would be appropriate use for mineral district money. In other words, within our mandate, the decision to fund the county is vested in the discretion of the board, as I've opined previously, and the amount that you decide to fund to the board is also in the board's discretion. As we've said, the monies legitimately came into the possession of the Mineral Lease District, albeit through efforts of a number of public officials, including representatives in the congressional delegation in the county. That's was noted in the law previously. And so how much of the Anvil Points Fund the board wishes to appropriate for this purpose is in your discretion. The issue of spending or expending from the permanent fund is a different issue altogether. If it is necessary to expend from the permanent fund, or if the board elects to go that route in connection with this particular request, there's a process that requires a public hearing, notice to the public ahead of that public hearing, and solicitation of public comment. So we don't have that meeting noticed today. In other words, we don't have a public hearing scheduled to discuss expenditure from the permanent fund. What you have before you is the request from the county. Beyond that, I'm happy to answer questions and talk about what next steps the board would like to undertake, if any.
Thank you. So just to be clear here, absolutely crystal clear. So the request letter from Patrick calls for $1.7 million plus the subsequent funds that were received, which was 124 what?
Oh,
exactly.
Point. So $120,402.20.
So $1,820,402.20.
You agree with that, Patrick?
Well, the 1.7 million number was approximately, I think the exact number, and I didn't have that in front of me when I was writing it. So whatever the exact number is certainly what the request would be. I think it's 1.7 and change.
Do we have that exact number?
$1,773,873.
I'm sorry, one more time?
$1,723,873.62.
2 plus the 1.1. So $1,824,275.82. That's the amount of money that this district has received from Anvil Points.
$1,824,275.82.
Okay.
Say that again,
please. The letter from the county also requests the earnings, any earnings that have been received on that money, correct?
Yes. Actually, we termed it accrued interest. So technically, I suppose that's different than, I don't know if your investment account
For clarification, the Evansville District its checking account at Alpine Bank is non-interest bearing.
Okay.
So there was no interest earnings on that. Hopefully there are earnings in the permanent fund, but in the checking account there's nothing there.
$36,838 as an
interest. Okay. Any other facts before this that need to be?
What was the total amount we put in the permanent fund at the time?
$1,824,000.
No, oh, I mean the permanent fund.
Oh, the
amount. What was the amount? What was the initial? What was the piece of the Anvil Points money that went into the permanent fund?
We put half of that $1,703,000.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, Matt?
I believe so. The Anvil, specifically the Anvil Points.
It wasn't exactly 850. I don't think, was it?
No.
Or,
no.
Yeah, it was exactly half.
Yeah.
Well, it was half, and then I think we had some other
unencumbered
funds of the district that went in.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So you know the actual for the
total basis, the beginning of your account, total contribution is 1.387.
No, I mean, how much of us came from that Anvil Points money?
I don't know that.
We don't want that.
So that's half the 1.7.
Craig, one other thing. You're getting the numbers down. What you decide to fund is vested in the discretion of the board, as I'm sure you know.
Right.
Thank
you. All right, gentlemen, I think we've got all the information in front of us that we're going to get.
I'm the new guy on the board, Craig, but here's my understanding.
Are you happy about that now?
I wonder. you know, my opinion was, you know, I was a little involved when David was telling me about everything the Federal Mineral Lease Board did. It was a lot of effort was put into putting aside this permanent fund. A lot of effort by Lou and Willett, State House, people here. There were many workshops about putting that together. Tell me if I'm wrong on any of this. A lot of public input, municipalities involved. And when I got on this board, I understood when our first meeting we talked about the discussion, we talked about some money still being in the checking account, some of about roughly 900,000 in the checking account, or a portion of that money was still sitting in cash funds and not invested in the permanent fund, and so there's some money set aside. To my feeling, to take money out of this permanent fund that all this public input was put into, and that money was put aside in the permanent fund with everybody being at the table and everybody being knowledgeable at the time, to pull that money out would be a great disservice to the community.
That's what we're
doing. And so, my side of the deal would be, yes, we don't touch that money. It was set aside so we wouldn't touch that money. And so this type of thing wouldn't happen. And however, the money that was kept in the cash account, and John asked that we not invest in it until the city, public county, got their letter from the Secretary of Interior. But that money was set aside, and that money is fair game, but the money in the permanent fund, I feel, would be doing a big disservice to go in and raise those funds.
Thank you, George.
That money that from the Anvil points is completely different money than this was set up to preserve for future use, and it came about from things that happened long before the Federal Mineral Leasing District came into existence. So my feeling is it probably shouldn't have been put in there. We did put it in, but I personally don't see anything really wrong with it. We're not entitled to take more than that amount out of that permanent fund, but it is a completely different money stream than the money than the permanent fund was really set up to do. That's my opinion. It was created with the because of the oil shale thing, and the government sat on it for how many years until they got it done and kind of raided the fund different times, and we were probably fortunate to even get what we did get, but it is a different pot of money than getting money from Dover to put into the permanent fund. And I certainly don't have any, I can't see why that particular dollars that's in there couldn't come back out and go to the county for our jail project.
Chris, in my research, there was a House bill that directed what we could put from the Anvil points money into the permanent fund. There was a House bill specifically addressing the Anvil points fund.
There was. Okay. House Bill 1182, and it basically said, it's kind of funny, it recounted the history of the release of the Anvil points fund, and I've cited that to you in previous memos. It directed specifically the bottom line, the Anvil points money, 10% of the total was to be directed to Mesa County Federal Mineral Lease District because we have a mineral lease district in existence.
And then there was also a House bill allowing us to put those funds into a permanent
That's right. And separate legislation, that's the legislation that was sponsored by Representative Willett, that the district spearheaded, this district spearheaded to establish a permanent fund, establish the legal authority for us to invest mineral lease monies and earn a return on them, which we didn't have before, at least not to the extent that we wanted. So separate legislation, but that's the crux.
So the putting together that permanent fund and the money from Emerald Point going into that was well documented throughout state law.
Yeah. And I realize, Quint, this was preceded your time on the board.
I'm trying to go back.
It's not fair to you because, yeah, a lot of these decisions were made by a previous board. But last May, we held a series of workshops. We developed policies to implement the permanent fund process. And it was all specifically driven by the fact that the legislature had given this district, and all districts, mineral lease districts, the authority, not the obligation, but the authority to invest mineral lease funds to seek further returns. And so we developed a series of policies, we held some public meetings, and then this money essentially fell into the district's lap, representing the excess from the Amble Points cleanup. Or the suspended royalties that were held in suspense pending the cleanup of the Amble Point site. As I've opined before this board previously, the decision to put the Amble Point, that portion of the Amble Point's money into the permanent fund was entirely within the district's legal authority, entirely appropriate in my opinion. That's unquestioned, at least in my opinion. Now, maybe others might disagree with me. But the question is, what, if anything, this board wants to do, given the request you have now? And I suppose, you know, the other thing we've talked about is that every request that's fulfilled means other requests may not be granted. And this is a pretty heavy ask on the part of Mesa County. It means that other needs are going to go unmet. And so you have to weigh that as well.
So you're saying, Chris, that the legislation that was passed addressed the Anvil Points money for the permanent fund? I thought it was just the money we got. I mean, I'm not saying it limited to that, but it was money from DOLA. I thought that was what we got our money from that was going to go into the permanent fund.
Oh, well, we're confusing two separate issues, John. And if I was unclear on that, I apologize. No, I mean, the legislation authorizing the creation of a permanent fund or an investment fund is completely separate from the Anvil Points issue. They just happen to kind of coincide around the same time.
Yes.
But the Anvil Points money was directed to Mesa County Federal Mineral Lease District.
I understand that.
Yeah. We didn't have to invest it, but past boards made the decision to invest half of it pursuant to that authority.
Yes, sir. I don't know if you're taking public comment right now, but I guess, and I would point out under 3463-102, that's the statute that creates the mineral leasing fund and also creates the permanent fund. It specifically states that on or after July 1, 2008, all monies, including any interest and income derived therefrom, received by the state treasurer pursuant to the provisions of the Federal Mineral Leasing Act of February 25, 1920, as amended, except those monies described in section 3463-104. That's the Anvil Points money. So it specifically accepts those, and it says the rest of the money shall be deposited by the state treasurer into the Mineral Leasing Fund, which fund is hereby created for use by state agencies, public schools, and political subdivisions of the state as described in subsections 5.3 and 5.4 of this section, and for transfer to Higher Education Federal Mineral Lease Revenues Fund created in section 23, 19.91021A, and the local government permanent fund created in subparagraph A of subparagraph I of paragraph A of subsection 5.3 of this section. So I read that statute to say that all of the Federal Mineral Leasing Act monies that are derived from the 1920 Federal Mineral Leasing Act, except Anvil Point's money, I mean, it specifically accepts those out, are to be deposited into the mineral leasing fund at the state level and distributed to the political subdivisions, including, and it says, and the local government permanent fund created in subparagraph A. I guess I would respectfully disagree with Chris's interpretation that the board had the statutory authority to put the Anvil Points money into the permanent fund to begin with.
Patrick, I read a later bill that gave us the explicitly.
When was that bill actually written?
Discussed.
What's your
talking about? I don't have that.
I don't have the history, but it's after the Anvil Points money was received, because it specifically describes the Anvil Points money, and it goes into detail about Garfield, Rio Blanco, Mesa, and Moffat counties, and all the expenditures they made to the operation of the Anvil Point site and so on. So I believe this is the most current version of the statute. But
you know,
I certainly could be wrong.
Yeah, and I didn't come here to litigate that question here today.
Right.
I've previously provided legal memoranda to the board. I mean, as I mentioned previously, HB 1249, which is the Anvil Point statute, specifically said, districts are empowered to allocate funding that they receive from DOLA to grants and communities for mineral development. The statute that directed the Anvil Points money to the district also amended the word funding to include not only the DOLA payments, which we get every year, but also the payments authorized under 3463-104, which is the Anvil Points distribution statute. I understand the argument, I think, but I would respectfully disagree with the county attorney's interpretation of that. If you would like a more detailed analysis, I mean, I know I've opined on this previously, but I guess we might have to agree to disagree, at least for today's purposes, as to whether or not the district had the authority to do what it did. I'll go to court and argue that issue if I have to.
And I think from the county's perspective, even for argument purposes, assume the district had the authority to distribute the funds and deposit the money in, half of the money into the permanent fund, the county's position is that there's no legal impediment to removing 100% of the portion that was put into the permanent fund. So that would be more of a policy decision, and I think the comments reflect that up here. I don't think there's any legal impediment that prevents you from doing so.
Thank you.
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to go back in history, but I just want to
thank you. Well, I think that that particular issue was discussed to a great degree in our last meeting. The fact that, you know, with the benefit of history, knowing now, if we'd have known then what we know now, I don't know that we would have voted. If we'd have known that the county at some point would have come back and asked us for that money with a legitimate request, I don't know that I would have voted to put that into the permanent fund. Having said that, again, I'm not, nor will I ever be, a county commissioner, and the people of Mesa County are better off because of that. So I'm not going to take issue with their request. I don't particularly care for the way they've gone about this, I'll be very honest with you. But I don't take issue with the request at all. They've got a big job to do and big numbers to look at, and I don't take umbrage from their request. However, there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and a great deal of reflection and consideration by a lot smarter people than me about this permanence fund and what it meant for Mesa County, what it could mean for Mesa County if, and the biggest if with the permanent fund is how, why I'm staring at you, I don't know, but.
it happens a lot, unfortunately.
The biggest if with the permanent fund was if future boards can have the strength and commitment to continue to put money aside and keep their hand out of that cookie jar, this could be something very, very good for the people of Mesa County. That was the intent behind doing it. That's why we've gone to all the trouble to get it up and going, taken some risks, but and been very vocal with the commissioners. We've met with the editorial board of the Daily Sentinel on this issue. We've been very, very upfront about what we were trying to accomplish with this permanent fund and what we hoped that it would be. That being said, I think the most dangerous thing that can happen today is for us to reach into that permanent fund and pull that money out just because we can. I understand your argument that we can. My argument is I don't want to. I don't want that precedent. I want that to be a locked box. I want people to look upon that and say, no, we don't touch that. We add to it, and we watch those earnings, but we are saving for a rainy day here. And so I'm willing to work with the county to the fullest extent that I can possibly come up with. I'm going to be creative with them, do everything that we can do to get them what they need. What I'm not willing to do is reach into that permanent fund. I won't vote to do that.
Well,
I'm sorry, no, we're still...
You took a question from Patrick.
Yeah, he's the attorney for the county, and I wanted to know where the county is legally on this. Thank you. We'll get to you.
I can agree with what you're saying to some extent, but on the other hand, this isn't the same amount, the same type of money that the permanent fund was really created for, and in that respect, I think that we should be allowed to take that money back out because it wasn't the normal DOLA severance tax dollars that was coming in, and it got put in there. Looking back, that was probably not the correct place to put it, but it's there, and I don't want to touch a penny more than that that's in the permanent fund, but I can certainly back taking that money back out of the permanent fund and go forward, I guess.
So Quint, have you changed your mind from my lengthy speech? So there's two of us that are not willing at this time, at least, to reach into that permanent fund and pull money out. So let's deal with this issue. Let's deal with this problem. So with the money that we've received, our cash, subtracting out the accounts payable for grants that we've already awarded is $1,687,864.97. We do not have the funds to pay the county the $1,824,275.82 that they're requesting. We also have to be mindful of the fact that we have monthly expenses of, it depends on, of course, how much work this is doing, but those expenses can run to $15,000 a month, $20,000 a month.
Not usually that much,
yeah.
But in a busy month.
So it would be irresponsible of this board to give the county or return to the county, however you want to put it. I don't mean to It would be irresponsible of us to not be able to run this federal mineral leasing district for the rest of the year until the additional funds come in August or September, for that next round. So it seems to me like the question is, I'm just one person here trying to solve a problem. The question is, do we give as much as we can to the county, keeping enough back to run the district for the year without having any grant cycles this year, and call that good? Or do we cut back on that and have some kind of a minor grant cycle? Or do we do number one, which is give them what we can, hold back enough to run the district for the rest of the year with the idea that we would give them the rest of it when we receive the grant money, our annual grant money in August or September? I guess option four is we tell Patrick thank you, but no. That's just me. Do we have another option?
I can't tell you. I don't know what else we do other than that, Craig. Other than those four options, obviously they've. And I think what's clear is now that they've received the letter, one of the things we have to also consider is now that they've received a letter from the Interior Office, they can apply for future grants.
I don't think that's been clarified. Have we even asked that question?
No longer.
Well, I think the Interior Solicitor's letter that we got in January at least said that if money comes to the district and it is granted to the county for purposes that are within the district's mandate, that they would not at least treat that as triggering a Piltoff set. And that was essentially, that was the big new development that made all of this discussion even possible.
Yeah, but it's a maybe development. If there's no clarification about whether they were just referring to the Anvil Points money or money in general.
Yeah, as I read the Interior Solicitor's letter they sent, they seemed to be saying that if money is distributed to the district, and I don't have it here in front of me, I can pull it up, but dispersed by the district for legitimate purposes, that they would not trigger that as, or would not view that as triggering an offset. That was sort of the bombshell development that precipitates this discussion. Again, they qualified the letter by saying, we're not giving you legal advice, you may or may not be able to rely on this, our opinion could change, you know, I mean, that's the way the federal government operates.
The thing that bothers me about that, Chris, is it's such a big bet, because it's a 200% bet, because if we're wrong, we get a Pilt deduction.
Yeah.
The people in Mason County get a Pilt deduction, and everybody loses when
that
happens. So to me, I don't know. I wish that was clarified.
Historically, this board has said, we don't want to go there. We don't even want to risk it. The whole reason why this district was created was to allow the maximum amount of mineral lease money to flow through to Mesa County entities without risking collateral consequences for Mesa County itself. And so we've steered clear of that issue completely in order to avoid a possible offset.
Now? No, just a moment, please. Thoughts on those four options, or do we have another one?
My thoughts would be that we maintain some type of grant cycle. We give them as much as we can, and they maintain some type of grant cycle and enough money to recovery operations. That would be my initial thoughts.
Well, my concern there, Quinn, is what's meaningful enough to matter?
Yeah.
You know, if we hold back 100,000, is that really going to, are we going to be, and I'm not saying anything against sidewalks, but are we just going to be putting a sidewalk in somewhere? Or can we help the county with this problem they've got and make sure that the FML district survives it?
Just what are your thoughts on that? What would be your preference for these, and also to teach on it? Although I think I know yours.
Mr. Chairman, am I out of line that?
No.
Can I have a break to talk with my counsel, or is that out of line? Chris?
John, you're wearing multiple hats, I realize that, and you have certain hats that you wear when you're sitting there, and
yes,
you have certain hats that you wear when you're going somewhere else, or when you're in front of...
Maybe it's not permissible, I just, you know...
I would suggest that currently you're sitting as a federal mineral district board member.
And cancel my question.
Chris is your counsel.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, my thought is, the other part of this is that there's, you've received a request... if you need to deliberate, my experience is that quick decisions are poor decisions most of the time. And if we need time to deliberate on this further, there's no harm, in my opinion. I realize the county has their own exigencies, but they've already awarded certain contracts. They already know what they're on the hook for. And moreover, I was not recommending that you were going to approve an agreement today. As you saw, the draft that's before you has blanks and needs some changes, in my opinion.
So I maybe have a question for Dusty then. So what kind of revenue will we get in August or September, whenever it is?
It's going to go back down from the things that I saw. I don't know if Nancy saw a different forecast, but it looks like drilling was down again this last year. The payment we got for this year was $737,000, and so with it being down, I anticipate it'll probably be a lower check again. So,
Benita, you've been patient.
Well, I see it, that you might have another alternative, but you just need time, and that is after the elections. It's my understanding that the county is asking for a tax increase. Are they not for this project?
We haven't done anything at this point.
Okay, I got this through the grapevine that there was going to be a tax possible increase.
All the gossip you want. I mean, I personally have not worked on a tax increase.
Okay, well, then that kind of. But if there is a tax increase, it's not something that the county should have to, that they should be worried about paying out right now. You guys shouldn't, I wouldn't think that you would go into any kind of contract unless you could cover it on the front end. That's my opinion. I mean, I wouldn't go into a contract I couldn't cover, so I can't see that the county would do that. So wait until after you figure out how you're going to pay for the totality. And then let the Federal Mineral Lease District come up from behind with a grant. And then not bother the money at all. Make it a legitimate grant.
In my opinion, this is just one board member. In my opinion, we're not being tasked with giving the commissioners an opinion about whether or not that the money they're spending on the jail is the right place for that money to go, or what? That's not what we're doing here today. What we're doing here, this money came to the FML district, and the county, the group of counties went together, asked the federal government if they got that money through a grant or a contract, would there be a pelt deduction? And a miracle occurred in Washington, D.C., and they got an opinion that said it would not be. And so they're asking for the money. They're not asking for us to consider where they're putting the money. They're asking us for the money. And that's what we got to deal with, in my opinion.
Well, I think our letter stated the jail, I believe.
Pardon me?
I said that. Yeah. Doesn't the letter talk about the jail?
Yep.
The very first year that this district, though, is in existence. $1.6 million went to CMU. There were a lot of hard feelings over that, a lot. Now you're going to ask again for this district to get rid of all of the grant situation for better than a year, especially if Dusty's right and the money's gonna go down. I totally support the investment project because we have to plan for the future and planning for more jail space. When other parts of the states are, this state are starting to drop the number of people that they have in the jails. And I think that that's what's going to happen here as well, because they're going
to... Well, I don't know that you're discussing the operation of the jail today. I'm sorry, I don't think that's where we're here.
Appreciate the comment. Okay, so...
Greg, I was going to... I'm sorry to interrupt, but one other thing I was going to suggest was that I would treat any disbursement to the county, if the board authorizes it, as a grant.
As a grant.
Pursuant to a grant agreement, and with strings that say it will be expended for the purposes that we, that the district is authorized to grant money, because this is mineral lease money and we have a statutory mandate. And that was one of the changes I was going to make to the draft that was submitted to us by the county attorney.
Yes.
I'm more comfortable with a contract from the fact that that thing vaguely says that we could maybe get a contract, but it also says in there that the Anvil Points money won't be offset. And if we do a contract, it can't come back. When you got the county actually got a grant, you got a contract, two different things.
My feeling is just that we have, as a district, we can only give money for certain things, and we need certain commitments from grantees that say, or from the people we give it to, or the entities, that it's going to be spent for the things that we're authorized to spend money for. That's my feeling. But
there's less chance for the pill to kick in if it's done as a grant, Chris?
I'm not sure it makes the difference between a grant or a contract. I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's a distinction with a difference. I think the issue is that if money comes out of the district, it needs to be spent for the appropriate purposes. And a jail is certainly one of them. It's a public facility.
Yes, ma'am.
I would just like to urge you to remind yourselves that the Federal Mineral Lease District, or the Federal Mineral Lease Act, was created to mitigate the impacts of the oil and gas industry in this instance. That's the overall arching, that's the overarching thing that you are supposed to be doing here. This business of creating permanent funds and withholding monies and giving grants, huge grants, that have nothing to do with the impacts of oil and gas, has been a consistent, crystal clear history of this particular Federal Mineral Lease District, as opposed to the Federal Mineral Lease District in Weld County, which doesn't have boards that pain over all sorts of technicalities and hasn't rewritten the Federal Mineral Lease Act. The monies go directly to roads and to water well testing. And they just don't mess with all of it. They take the money and use it for the impacts of the oil and gas industry in Weld County. In Garfield County, they've used it for libraries, they've used it for roads. They declined the invitation to use the $1.6 million that this district gave to Colorado Mesa University to form an unconventional energy center. The first whole year's grant of $1.6 million, that is a fracking center. So we see at Colorado Mesa University energy expos for oil and gas. We see scholarships for oil and gas. We see the Colorado Mesa Board of Trustees getting political and going against a proposed amendment last fall, making a public statement. They're lobbying. We see students going over to lobby. We see research being done. That $1.6 million was given the first year that the Federal Mineral Lease District was formed here in Mesa County. Nothing happened for the impacts of the oil and gas industry for the people of this county, or for the roads of this county, or for the jails of this county. Nothing happened for us. The next year, Colorado Mesa University got $557,000 for a heat exchange system on campus that is not an impact of the federal mineral lease oil and gas impact. The next year, the library, that CMU got a library technology upgrade for $557,000. That comes to just that those first 3 years comes to $2,714,000 for things that had nothing to do with the impacts. That's not even half, well, that's more, you know, the county is requesting half of that right now. Now we, and I would say that the permanent fund was not exactly set up with the best interest of the citizens. I think it was set up simply because they knew the Animal Points money was coming in. I do not, I don't know what the rainy day is, but I do know what the impacts are. And I've seen John when he had to sit at a county commissioner's meeting and say, we cannot fix the roads because we don't have enough money. I've seen that happen, and you've seen it happen. And I see here that we have no way of perhaps answering a need of the county. Maybe it wasn't done all right, but I do know that there were a couple of us that were signed up to remote testify on the bill in Denver about on 192. And somehow it just didn't happen. It just didn't materialize. But we do know that the mineral lease district guys got in the car and went to Denver and lobbied for that day. I just don't understand what the permanent funding is, but I do have an intuitive fear that it's going to become a brick and mortar building on the CMU campus housing an unconventional energy center, because there's such an overarching amount of money that has gone from this particular federal mineral lease district to CMU. And I could just see that. I would recommend that there's maybe a fifth thing that you could consider, and that would be requesting those funds back, the $1.6 million to create an unconventional energy mineral center, plus the money accrued in interest, and then give that to the county for an impact. We know that there's a lot of drug problems. There are impacts from the oil and gas industry that would impact our county jail. I would just as soon see some direct feedback to the county of the people here knowing. I don't like it when the county has to cut services and they have to cut personnel and they can't do things and you're investing money that was never invented, never intended to be invested. It was meant to be used for an impact.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, what's your name for the record?
Janet Johnson.
Janet Johnson, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're back to the question of the recommendation of Chris is that we can think about and table it, basically, and think about our options and the cost of all of that and what we can do. The other option is we can just deal with it. So, what's the pleasure of the board?
I think your first option was you call it table it or think it over and meet a special meeting or the next meeting or what?
I'm open to either.
Yeah.
Yep.
Craig, I feel I probably need a little more detail or whether we get it right now or whether we look at the run the numbers and get the implication of, you know, find out what the results are, given our choices, what that will do to our grant cycles. And I guess I would like to put the different options to paper.
Okay.
I'm not ready to make a decision today.
Okay. Is there a motion to table this matter? To the next regular meeting, or do you want a special meeting?
The
next meeting in April is in conflict with the Energy Expo in Garfield.
Oh yeah. I would recommend a special meeting so we can get this taken care of. So that when the
regular meeting comes, we are ready to take action on it. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm all right with that. Special meeting, but let's pick today.
Okay. Want to stick with the Wednesday?
Sure.
I can do the 3rd or the 10th.
Well, so the regular meeting's on the 17th, correct, Dusty?
That's correct.
You know, that's also the Garfield Energy Expo
day. So it seems to me like we should just do it in conjunction with our normal monthly meeting. Instead of having a meeting on the 10th and then again on the 24th, let's just pick either the 10th or the 24th for our regular meeting next month and do it then.
Let's do the 10th.
10th?
Get it done.
John, you all right with that?
That works for me.
It looks better than
it's 2 weeks from today.
I'll circulate a revised draft of the agreement to the board to consider it well ahead of that time. I should have that for you here in a couple days.
The 10th is better than the 24th, quite likely.
So will you amend your motion to move that we table this to our regular meeting in April, which will be on April 10th?
I amend my motion. We move this issue to April 10th, and also that we move our regular meeting to April 10th.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Next item in number 9 is the review of the spring grant program. I'll entertain a motion to table that as well.
I'll move we table that until we...
A second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item 10, review and award of submitted RFPs for banking services.
We're back to that same. That's same thing. Table that. We table that.
Second that.
Thank you. Item 11, unscheduled business. Hearing none. Now, do we adjourn the meeting? Adjourn the regular meeting?
And what I'll need you to do is adjourn the meeting, and then someone will need to move to go into a closed executive session. That'll need to be for the purposes of discussing personnel issues. That'll need to be moved and seconded, voted on by the board before we do that.
First, I'll move to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All
right.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned at 3:03.
With that, I'll move that we convene into an executive session to discuss personnel issues.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Move to go into executive session to discuss personnel issues, 3:03, March 23rd, 2019.